for the problems. Our whole interest with the concept of articulation is to say, no, actually we have to articulate the problems in ways that are productive for us today. And when we manage to articulate the problems, which are just an actualization of that problematics behind, which always remains diffuse, then we also have the solutions. So it's a shift in thinking about problems, which will be your topic.
So I put here a lot of slides, and hopefully we will stop if you're exhausted, or me. So this is a short summary of what I'm trying to tell today. So it's all about language, it's all about writing of the phonetic language and so on. Just this is with A, and these are the tools for reproducing written phonetical language. You have these kind of letters and so on, and these are the tools. And if you're architect, it tells a lot about what an object is, what a thing is. This means you can grasp that, you stamp it, and so on. It's the identity of the object and the matter and the form and so on. And all the functionality behind that is implicit. Nobody separates the objects. They separate the words, but not the objects. Yeah? And these are the tools. If you go to the B level, it's just a summary, and I think it's very impressive. You are in analytical geometry, you're in this kind of perspective, you separate the objects from the one, the unity, the implicit unity of an object, into coarse and coarse and effect. Yeah? You make a line from A to B. You're looking for the shortest line from A to B, and you always have a duality. So, and geometry is used just to find the way between these points. And this has the effect that the typical printing product reproducing speech and so on of the level B is, for example, the audio disc, and you have the analysis, the geometrical analysis of sound, not any longer of the speech, but of the sound, transfer it from one media, for example, from understand that this is a that air is a media for speaking, and transfer this from the air to the needle, to the polyvinyl, store it there, the needle, takes a needle and transfer it again to the air. So you're able to reproduce the speech and so on. You are not any longer fixed to the words, the speech, you are able to reproduce music, you're talking not about speech but sound, you're talking about brightness of the sound and so on, and you're doing it with any media. Yeah, and this is the B level. And this is what we are interested in. And the B level is continuous. Always continuous lines, lineamenta, which is what Werner Oechslin told. So it's always continuous. And what nowadays with information technology comes is this stuff. It's an O and a 1. It's completely symbolic, and it's discontinuous. The constituent element of that is discontinuity. So this is what we tell deterritorialize, because these bits can mean anything. It depends. What is this? It depends on your question, what it means, whether it's music or text or a program, whatever you want. Without the context, it means nothing. And it can mean anything, because you're able to connect all these points as you like. So, this is a complete new way of organizing and reproducing things of our interest. This is level C. So, and these are the phenomena of level C. So what you have is all these discontinuous elements, and they can have any meaning, and therefore you have these kind of surfaces, you have these kind of traffic, and so on. You're just constructing. So there is no continuity, but the one you're projecting, you want to have. With the audio, there is a necessity for this continuity. You can't change the line, otherwise you will disturb the sound. Here, it's a neutral new matter, and you can play what you want, because it's every dot is in discontinuity. So this is a major difference. And if you look at our surfaces, for example, this is Peter Eisenman, this is the European monument for the Jewish people killed in with the Nazis in Berlin. And you see, this is what contemporary architecture is doing with the discontinuity. It's like a monitor. And look at that, at the monitor. You're just connecting to this kind of infrastructure, and you're just playing with these discontinuities and just programming what you want to have there. Oh, this is a Zeitverkümmerung for a factor that's a detail. This is a photo shop matter. And this this is a wall, a semi-transparent wall of a factory for Ricola, this famous Swiss candies. So you see that this is just a scan, Photoshop, and then printed out of pixels as a new kind of matter with actual architecture. Oh, this is TumTor. And you see, he really likes this original this original setup. But again, he is playing around with this discontinuity. This is Olgiati. This is another Eastern Swiss architect, very famous. And he's using this kind of, you see this, the wall, all the old-fashioned structures, just to implement this kind of textures. It's a yellow, or no, it's a white house, and you see this is a monitor, what's happened there. Just playing around with all the textures, with the different depth of the in history of the upcoming and growing of the building and so on, and he's just painting it clear white as a monitor, because this is his story. And the same with this kind on a geometrical level with Gary and Düsseldorf. So, what I want to show you are some lines of argumentation which leads from A over B to C, to engage you in seeing actual architecture as dealing with the discontinuities of our times, using all the bits as like a monitor, like a screen, to be able to display whatever you want, not the things what are necessary with the LP, with the analog thing. So, the first line, detailed line of argumentation is a catalog. How people organize knowledge. And there's a, only evident in German, there's a nice book by Umberto Eco. And the it's about systems of ordering, starting from lists to hierarchies and so on. And this is a very nice, well-illustrated book. He's a cultural historian, philosopher.
It's one of the main persons who wrote Theory of Science, semiotics. And he also wrote novels, The Name of the Rose, for example, probably know that, which deals with the monks and the books and all that story.
And it's always like Werner Oechslin. He is dealing with this transfer from A to B. And he's, for example, complaining, he's strongly believing that we are developing to a medieval society again.
Because you can't see the sea level, like
you can't see the sea level, and he is expecting that we are freezing in a medieval style on our in a very powerful infrastructure of need. So what? If you look at that, there's a clear story. At A level, you have lists of elements sorted less sorted, but you have lists of elements you are talking about. The same like the numbers. For example, if you have four, a list of four elements, you do not have the letter four and the so if you have five, so it's a list. You're just making lists. So, and you're doing it in art, you're doing it in architecture, you're doing it in all the writings and so on. And he has a lot of impressive examples all over the European history. What happens in terms of B is that these elements get connected. So, for example, you get hierarchies. As I told you, these are singular elements, and here you get the connection. And the connection means everything you're looking at refers to where you're looking from. This is a perspective. Or in the encyclopedias, you are. These are the lists. You see these old-fashioned hierarchies, different kinds of hierarchies. This always means the lists get sorted or get bundled and these kind of things. And you get these kind of representations. And you get, for example, these encyclopedias. You get this sorted list, hierarchical list of all the words sorted by the alphabet, just to get an overview of what's talked about. And this idea, all this idea is B, to sort these elements. So, and these are the kind of hierarchies, classifications and so on in architecture in last century. This is very famous. I don't know whether you know that. This is a German classical representation. You see, everything is organized by measure. You see, people measures, and if you want a brush person, you know how much place you need. You need the kitchen, or the look, everything. And it's this size of book, 1,000 pages, 10,000 pictures, and you can look. Everything is sorted. So there is not a principal other idea than this very prior classification here. It's just thousands, hundreds of thousands of different elements in a very unique, displayed in a very unique way. Or this is from the context of Bauhaus, this Frankfurt kitchen. And they just organized it. This became the metric of the international style. So you already know, you showed some examples from Kurokawa yesterday. And so these are the kind of elements. For building construction, you have. These kind of books, and you might have them as well. So, this is a catalog how to construct buildings, and they are so all these tables, how to do that, and so on. And the interesting thing is how they are organized. So the first is the foundation, then there's a prevention from moisture, for heat, for acoustics, and so on. Then the walls, how to construct the ceilings, then the construction of the walls, then the chimneys, and so on and so on. And the interesting thing is how they classify that to get a proper order. So this is a very functionalistic order. So if you want to construct a certain element, you just can see, okay, I want to go to the roof, from the roof to the covering of the roof, and then this can be done with clay or with glass or with stone. Go to stone 566 and you find the construction. So it's a very elementary. You had this with the Danish. This is a similar time with this with your Danish hero. He follows this idea. It's not the idea, interestingly, what Kurokawa did. Kurokawa made these kind of modules, which gives another order. So which means you do not have to. You do not have to care for example, the washbasin, because you only have to care about the module and the infrastructure, the kernel of the building, and then the module. So a book for doing these elementary things of Kurokawa would be completely different, because this is very elementary. So, and not very dance to the actual craftsmanship and so on. You know, these are the. So this is, I do not have an example for that. This is from my colleague, and this is available in English as well. From this is very famous. He wrote it 5-6 years ago, and it is a new kind of building construction by André de Platzes, for building construction at ETH. He made this book, and it's the same like that, like Schmidt. He's from the 50s, 60s, first edition, and he is from 2000, and there's a major difference between that. As you see here, there's not a proper order by the different components of the structure of the building. It's from the rough material to the Bauwerk. To the fully completed building. So it's the idea that you can transform the building out of very rough material from the ground, from the stones, manipulate the stones, and find out how this works to a complete craftsmanship, a bright architecture. So making it out of the ground to an idealistic perspective. So, and the whole language game, the whole classification is just to show that there is a necessity in the material to follow certain constructions. And the education is to look for the material, what the material wants, to get a fully developed architectural building and work. So while we are this is an open platform of elements, and you're able to combine that, like Lego, this is a very idealistic idealistical way, vertically, to the ground and to the fully evolved becoming of a building. It's very naturalistic and very aesthetic. So when you see that, and this is what we want to train, you see that with a title, yeah. And you see that mainly by the content, just the headlines of the different chapters and so on. And this is the building construction tutorial to the architecture, to the famous Swiss architecture, which are promoted mainly by Herz Klemmerer, Zumthor, Algiati, and so on. This is a corresponding tutorial for that. This is Laurent Stalder. Very interesting. He's a colleague. He is at the History and Theory of Architecture. He's at the Neil Professor. I don't know whether this is available in English. And this is classification. It's an atlas, a classification by sorted by letters of all the, he called it Schwellen. What is that?
Transits.
So, for example, a door, a doorknob, the keyhole, the window, the HVAC, the light, and so on. All these transfer interfaces, we would say interfaces of which a building is composed of in a very broad range. And he found about 200 or 300 different entries and sorted them by letters. The interesting thing is that he's talking about mainly about technology, because all these are technology. For example, he has this smoke detector, there's a lamp, here's a light switch, here's a doorknob, and so on. But he's sorting them like bricks, just an element. So it's an HVAC outlet, it's a lamp, it's a doorknob, and so on. And he has no idea about the structure, why it is there, why it's functioning. So they're only interested in the final element. So as an architectural element, and composes them and discusses them as if they would be bricks of clay. Just their nice material and so on. There's no idea, the same with the lift and so on, no idea of the infrastructure behind that. Why the lift is running, there's no cable, no description of cables, but of the telephone, but not of the cable. Of the light, not of the cable. There's no description why there's a switch and there's a light, why this is working as a system. And this is very strange. Yeah, but again, it's a classification, it is a certain classification, it's interesting what is an interest and what not. So what is what a very unique position is that he gives interest to architect to technical objects and to functionality of technical objects. And the hypothesis is, in conventional situations, you have a conventional perspective, you only have glass, wood, and so on, and now you have all the elements of technology. But he's taking them as A, because it's just a list. Just a ventilation, a lamp, and so on. So interesting is, it takes, is interesting, fascinating by the functionality of C, but is organizing them in an atlas like A. And it's completely blind of the network. Any functionality coming out of the network. Yeah. So, and this is what we have. So all these, and I think there are hundreds of them. These are a few examples of catalogs, contemporary catalogs in architecture. And these are the structures of the indexes and catalogs of on the sea level. This is Markowski, and he made an index of a famous, I forgot the name, Tucholsky, a famous poem of a Russian poet. I think it was Tucholsky, and this is a poem. And he only counts the vocals, the number of the vocals in X and in Y direction. And then he somehow combines that to these certain numbers. So he made that by hand to the whole book. And the interesting thing is that just by, this came out, just by very few of these calculations, very simple calculation, you can identify the certain position of the book. So what is really new with that, in comparison to all the other catalogs, is yet you can't find the right position without the knowledge of the word. That's really crazy, because all the other catalogs here, they say you need the word, and then we have, for example, the overall system A, B, C to Z, or we have this kind of structure, or this kind of these kind of ordering and so on, and these kind of details and so on. We've seen all this, and they all are reflecting on the complete world knowledge, which is intended to be sorted from A to Z, or from which is sorted in certain dimensions and so on and so on. So the result in this kind of books, this one, because they're frustrated with the universality with that. So there's some extra of ideological things from the Swiss ground. So this kind of phenomenological research, and this from the 1930 says you do not have to understand or sort everything in a proper way, you still will find the right position. So there's no need for an overall organization. And this is how Google is operating. Google has two different machines. The first one, they are indexing in a hash table all the words they can find. It's a big, all the data, they're indexing them, let them find the words. The problem with your request, if you, for example, ask for Umberto Eco, is that there will be 5 million Umberto Ecos. And the problem is, what is the interesting one, the most interesting one? So you need, you can have a list as a hash table, very simple, but you want a certain hierarchy for that, depending on your individual interest. So what they are using is this kind of technology, very simple arithmetic, just to give you a sorted list depending on interests which are typical for you. So they are not precisely what you're looking for, but if you imagine that for Umberto Eco, for example, there are 100,000 of list elements, and you mainly find, you can find them in the first 50, they are really successful in this way, even if the algorithms are primitive. Very similar is it's an index of the same kind. This is with Space Syntax of Behalia. And you easily can program that. So it's just an illustration of how this Markov works. And Google, of course, has now, I think they, meanwhile, they have 20 different aspects for their calculations if you want to address. It's a lot of regional things, the attraction of the websites. It's the regionality. They are observing you, where you, what your interest is, and this is an element and so on. So here you see the city center of, I think it's London, the importance of a road. And the very simple algorithm is, the importance is, a road is important if he had, the more important neighbor roads he has. So now you can imagine that this long road here has a lot of neighbors, some of them are important, and therefore this gets very important. And because this one is important, the others are more important than the green ones here, which are not connected to the important street and so on. So it's very simple recursive stuff. So now you can, of course, combine every road with any other road. You will have a lot of calculation. But the image didn't change a lot over the iterations. If you go to 1, 2, 3 iterations, you nearly got the image of the importance of the road. So you always only have to calculate locally in an iterative and recursive way, and you can get this kind of map of the, in this case, a certain importance of a road, which fits pretty much to the things we observe in reality. Much more than, for example, the traffic design. He's simulating all the traffic. The colleague Kai Axhausen from the civil engineering, they are calculating all the cars, all the streets of Switzerland, and all the people, where they are working, where they are shopping, where they are at home, where the kindergarten is, and so on. They have all these kind of statistics and running the whole country with cars and buses and trains and so on. And they are not this precise like this simple calculation. That's impressive. So So you have the old-fashioned way, the sky upsilon is B. And this is a, of course, it's very primitive and you can't do a lot with that, but this is a taste of C. And of course, what we are trying and what Klaus is telling is with these with these kind of maps to sort. If you have this phenomena not in one dimension, but in any kind of dimension, you ask a certain question. And the whole set of indexes is organized to a proper map of the association, or to the associative data and indexes. So with any kind of question, you get a certain hierarchy. Yeah, and this hierarchy is organized so you can get maximum contrast on the graph. This is what is done with this map. Independent of the aspect, of the dimension, and so on. So this is a certain map on a multi-dimensional index in space. So this is C as well. There's an interesting catalog. This recently came out. This is the color of the city of Zurich. So they have these kind of buildings. They describe the buildings. And then they have this map of the colors. And they made it 100 times. So building, color, color, building. Then yeah, this nice thing, these are all the colors. And now they are sorted by year, that's 1910 to 1920. So these are the colors. And you see how these colors are had been combined. This is the 10th and 20th. And you see we have the link to the buildings where you can find this color. So now you see that over the years, the spectrum of the colors completely. So this is the 60s with very strong colors, yeah, and you see how the spectrum changed over the century. That's interesting. And the other index is here. You see the colors on the map, the major colors of the city. And again, you can have the index, go to the building, look at the building, what is the corresponding color, and so on. It's an advanced indexing system to the color, which is beyond these circles and so on. They start with these kind of descriptions here. You see, this is very typical RGB. You see these kind of principles to classify them and so on. And it's just the same time that's interesting again to analyze. There's another color scheme that came out here. It's 128 colors. Interesting, 128 is it's 7 or 8 bits. And look what they did. They just have a list of 128. So then have gray, and then they have a story of creative person about this color. They always say, "Yeah, now this is This is the color of the spectrum of Le Corbusier from 1931, and then there is a characterization in a poetic way of this kind of color. So this is Swiss as well. Yeah. Yeah, and this is, for example, this is Ordotum. Yeah. Cognac, brown, and so on. Too much of white will be not appropriate, blah, 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 and so on. So, this is clearly very compatible to the groundings of de Platz's construction theory, methodology. And this is clearly A.
Yeah.
And this is a small taste of C with the same thing, same year. Yeah, just to give you an impression what I think. Of course, it should be online, huh? And there should be some instruction. If it's not a C, because the text and so on, there's a textbook and they write how to use it and so on, and this is maximum B. So they're very old-fashioned in the reception what they did. But the way they link that is, in principle, it's engaging you to rethink, to have a free, to open your mind about thinking in colors beyond the schemata we have.
It would be possible with that same principle to capture
the
city space in any qualitative respect. You could just simply say, I have a criteria like, calmness. And you make 200 images of places where you ascribe that quality, and you parameterize it in the same way for all the 200. It doesn't matter how you parameterize it, but by doing that and applying it to all the different instances, you get the possibility to compare. And you could do like this. You can start to catalog all the aspects which have until now hardly ever been able to be described. The main problem, like when you try to identify what is red, you end up with some numbers quantifying it. What is sweetness, you end up with some number values. You always, and that's the frustration of the philosophers with the quantities, all the qualitative distinction gets lost when you reduce it into the number matrix. But by these sorts of catalogs, it's not necessary anymore to render it into the numbers. You can make the step into the numbers and render it back into a visibility, which is then also intuitive in a different way from the intuition that you get in A level. We want to do this in the future, make many, many catalogs like that.
So you can, for example, explain you want to have more Swissness,
yes,
in colors. Whatever it means. But this gives an idea that there might be something. Of course, in Tokyo or in Copenhagen, we have other spectrum. So, and if you have this without numbers, but in an open field of parameters and so on, you can say I want to have more Swissness in my. And you can do that with colors, you can do that with geometries, with forms, with the way you are positioning the lights, and so on and so on. Any kind of parameters about buildings, architecture and the urban space. So we have, I think it's very interesting to see. You have this very a prominent spectrum of, for example, RGB. This is a functionalistic reception of colors, and they got some certain numbers, as we have it on the computer screen and so on. So that is a B color, RGB, for example. So
So you have all these RAL color, and so you have 10,000 different colors, 10,000 different numbers. I only have color 8,913, and you know worldwide what it is. This is V. So people here get frustrated with that because they say there's more in color. But there are two different attitudes coming came out last year. This is the A. They say B is bad. We want to go back to A. Tell creative stories about the colors and have a list of colors. That's it. An unsorted list of colors. That's interesting. There's no proper order in that. And telling stories about them. That's a clear A. So it's very reverse and very conservative attitude. So and they go into the direction of getting more connections, more and more connection with the colors to get a volume of indexes you can work with. So this is direction to C. So I think it's interesting to analyze these kind of things and to these kind of attitudes towards. And so the next thing is what I really dislike, because it's the same. This is this one. So it's, again, it's a catalog of the Swiss. So in here, they deconstructed whole Switzerland. So these are all the small villages. 20 houses, 30 houses, and the big ones. And they, interesting, they sorted them by alphabet. And there's another list here by functions. So this is a clear deconstruction, and then have there's a list of sorted by size. So this is listed by size. So and by alphabet. So it's a complete deconstruction of all Switzerland. And you have looked at the atlas again. And then, as creative persons, they're doing these sketches to reconstruct in an artistic gesture whole Switzerland. So the thing what they do is they radically do an analysis on level of B, put them radically to very few functions, sort them by alphabet, sort them by the size of the area, by population maybe, how many industries there, not more, 4 or 5 parameters maximum. It looks fancy, really looks nice. And then they deconstructed everything on level B. And what they're doing is, without any argumentation, just having this kind of sketches to reconstruct Switzerland out of these atoms. And this is clear A. So they disturb Switzerland to establish this attitude. And this is, I really get angry about these kind of things. And you can't talk about that because there's no discussion. And because they said we're these creative persons, they are allowed to do that and so on. It's incredible. And then it's looking nice, yeah. All this kind of aesthetics look so polite, making these nice photographs and the helicopter. But it's a really tough story. And this is the problem with aesthetics. So aesthetics very often is just suggestive, and aesthetics is very often an argument not to argue, which means
Yeah, I don't want to argue on level B. I want to have my position on level A. So it's before argumentation, before logic. So it's before 2,500 years. And that's a crazy situation. This is why Eco is complaining. It means we are going back to a medieval society. So the same story with material. So this was about catalogs and indexes. Now the same story with material. So on level A, we have the story, we have wood, we have the ox, we have our power of our arms, of our body, we have stones to build and so on. These are the tools. This is from a dentist. Medieval dentist. Yeah. So these are the kind of instructions. So I don't want to go there, and I'm not expert in these kind of things. Not this important. But interesting is that these kind of constructions, a new professorship for civil engineering at our department is just focusing on these kind of brick systems, which are without any tension. And he's doing research with that, with computers and so on. So he is using sophisticated computer systems, comes from MIT and so on, all these organic stuff and so on, and is just imitating these kind of construction. So he's using computers to make an A. It's crazy. And somehow, of course, it's fun doing these kind of things, but to see some realistic chance to improve our situation just by doing these kind of things, I think it's really crazy.
And he's a young one.
Yeah.
I saw some presentation.
Yeah, and he's smart and so on, and people really like that. He got a lot of competitions winning that and so on, and he gets famous. But he's doing this stuff. So
and Tom likes it. He now does a project together with him about
and
this.
Tom likes it. Tom is an A person. And the more I'm thinking about that, the clearer this comes out. So people really are afraid of what's going on there, and they're so happy if intellectuals tell them, "Don't worry, yeah, we can do it," or "Don't worry, look at all the old medieval people and the 2,000 years ago, how intelligent they have been."
And now we can do the same with the computers, so all our problems
will be solved. Every of our son and so on. So nothing really changed, and it's just by origin and by birth that we are able to deal with that. Look, nothing major changed and so on. And therefore, they're so happy if some intellectual or some research is with this old-fashioned stuff with modern technology. It should be something like that. And you see that this is the same gesture like De Platzes, like Herzog de Meuron. If you go to this abstraction, a level of abstraction we are actually discussing, then you see it's the same gesture. So and they really got artistic. So
aren't they somehow changing the material?
Yeah. Mm. Who? Who is changing the material?
Herzog, for instance?
No. So they're doing a lot of experiments around material. This is somehow like this atlas. So they're doing a lot of experiments. So in a B level. On a B level, they are deconstructing in their material experiments. In their formal experiments, they are deconstructing
all the conventional behaviors, even from material. And then they have this artistic gesture to reconstruct it in an interesting and fascinating way. But they're using analysis, this is B, and they make huge lines of experiments with material, with spaces, with architectural forms and so on. Always this batteries of experiments. And they are used for deconstructing the conventional. They're using B technology to deconstruct the conventional order. And then by an artistic gesture, without discussing that, they are recombining them to an attraction. So what's interesting is they deconstruct with the methodology, analytical methodology of B, they deconstruct our B, we are happy that there is a certain order in B, they deconstruct that, so we feel helpless. Then they give us an A solution, and they produce attraction for that on a C level. All this would not have been possible, these kind of attractions, without the mediality they are a popular with.
Which I think, personally, I don't know about you, but this per se is fantastic. It is great for architects to become so masterful on the artistic statements. It's not at all a critique in doing that. But the critique is if theory building, the problem with the B level is, and what we have in many places, is that we have stereotyped, standardized reproductions and no interest in architecture anymore, except on very sophisticated levels. And what is starting now, especially by creating these kinds of workflow books and recipe books of how to work with computers, it propagates a standardized way towards an aesthetic attitude which is not an aesthetic artistic one anymore, because it has been schematized, otherwise it could not be used to explain how to deal with computers. And that's a problem. Art is always breaking the conventions. It always it lives from this A level immediacy of inner experience that finds a singular expression. Whenever you are trying to schematize that and make it broadly available, it's not art anymore. It becomes cliché. And the problem with the great popularity of this B level analysis, C level attractiveness, and A-level statements is that an appropriate kind of theory building that would really address the problems we have on the C-level is being hindered by that very much. The problems are being addressed with very brutal B-level methods that are just ubiquitously repeated. And the great interest and the cultural estimation goes to singular statements that are great on an A level. And what we are interested in is finding a theory building which is adequate for C level without just tackling the world full of the schemes that we have from the analytical B level. But per se, the statements, buildings like those of Herzog Dümmer, they are fantastic. So it's not a critique on the artistic gesture per se, just if this is made the object of theory, that can't be the way. And there is one book which makes that very explicit. It's by Foreign Office architects, Fashid Mousavi, I don't know. It's the what is it called?
The Functional Forum?
Yes, exactly. Functional form, it's the functionalization of aesthetics which is propagating by that, and it's also an index. We should look at that too, how it is built up.
Okay.
Now I want to show you what with Werner Oechslin had been and what with matter changed from A to B. The first one
was known who developed ideas like that is in the 14th century in Paris.
So and they say if you have some was heißt Eigenschaften, properties, they always have a range. It's warm, cold. So from warm to cold. So and it's not, and you have a range of qualities. So the same as with the good and the bad. So a range between them. The same is between bright and dark and the red and blue and all these kind of things. So you have certain properties. You're describing the world in properties. But they have always have a range, and this range
of value changes over time in a continuous way. So the interesting thing now is you have the extensio. This is the extension. This is the quantity. And you have the intensio. Intensio. This is a quality.
So this is, yeah?
You can measure the thing itself, and then you have the quality there, and this is changing over time.
So, and before that, they, if I got sick, or it's too warm, or it's too heavy, or an object is, is poisoning, and so on, it just was as it is. So nobody reasoned about that.
The principal idea here is, it's a kind of distraction in thinking, is that you can integrate the values here, so the intensio. And you can calculate all these slots here and make an integral of them, with the effect that the intensio, so the temperature, can be calculated at an extensio. So this, so again, brought to a certain number. So what here it's a little complicated to explain. What you can
for example, measure. This is what you can could be counted here.
All the lines in the list. So you have 5 elements, 8 elements, and so on. What is beyond this kind of calculation on the A level is, for example, the temperature. Because temperature was implicit in the objects, like the color. So this, all this was implicit. Explicit was the thing, had been the thing. So you had the, and you're calculating with that. Implicit was the temperature, or the health, or the goodness, whatever you want. Brightness and so on. Politeness, all these kind of things. This had been implicit. Explicit had been the object you can grasp. This was A. And this is a geometrical illustration of, for example, the temperature changing over time. So, and by integrating them, you can have the temperature as bring the temperature to the objects. So you get a quality as a quantitative thing. So that's a little
complicated. I have to train to explain that. So, and this is a turn from A, one major turn from A to B. So, and we still think, for example, politeness can be measured. But the psychologists and so on, all the marketing people, of course, they are trying to measure that. And we trust in this kind of measuring. And they're always doing these kind of calculations and projections from the intensio to the extensio. So this is integration and integral, differential, and this is the analytical geometry, which and this is a turn from, and we explained that it's a turn from logic and geometry here to arithmetic to the calculation. So the extensio gets a primary thing because the intensio can have been able to get projected to the numbers and reflected against the intensio. So the effect that whatever you think here, you can bring it to numbers, calculate them with numbers, and reproject it to quantities.
That's how marketing works.
Yeah, whole B works like that. Yeah, marketing is a very sophisticated tool in there. Yeah. So in these guys, this is from Peter Greenaway, Contract of the Draftsman. And they are looking at nature and this analytical thing, observing all these kind of calculations. So they're sitting there drawing these kind of things, which and they really strongly believe that whole nature, all the intentions, can be projected here, calculated, and reprojected back. So this is a shift. This is origin here. And this is the kind of transfers of projection of different scales and so on. This becomes the rational kinds of calculation. So what in B changes is that the things are not as they are, as objects as they are. You always have the numbers behind that. So constructing thing in B is the numbers behind that and the calculation. And this is the invention of the drawing. Therefore we do drawing. The drawing is, yeah, so it's completely uninteresting, the black lines. The interesting thing with this construction is the red and the blue lines. This is the calculation behind that. So this is Karl Kuhlmann, 19th century, and you see this graphical civil engineering, very famous, one of the first professors at ETH. Or we had it here, now with all the electronic sensors and actuators. How, for example, the wavelengths, so the color of the light corresponds to a certain electrical behavior. All these kind of projections. All these differential equations and so on are always projection one and two numbers. And our machines and all the arithmetics and so on working like that, always transferring to come to the final form. Therefore, with Paxton, you see this crazy crazy architectural artifact. And the major thing is how they did that. So it's the logistics, it's the financing, it's the whole world logistic of goods, it's a market, a worldwide market, to invite people for the whole world. And it's the iron construction, which means you have to the coal and the iron and the it's a big, it's a
industrialization and so on, this mass production, serial production and so on. And this is what really changed. So all what changed towards the buildings before, that you really got into the material and into the processes, into the logistics, into the markets and so on, to bring out these kind of architectural artifacts. So the material really got so I told this example with this major shift from the wood as an energy source on the animals to the coal, and this is a factor 100, and this is just because you had been able to rethink what matter is. You look behind the substance, and you are able to clean the poisoning coal, and then you are able to use it. In former times, coal was there and available, but because of the sulfur and so on, people got sick from that. It was poisoning, dangerous, and therefore they didn't touch it. And while always counting the elements, taking it as it is, nobody gets the idea that this can be changed. You can clean substances as you want. You can change that. So you need this crazy looking and projections and so on to reconstruct, to have the idea that a substance can be reconfigured. So yet you can clear a substance that it's not any longer poison, which is not this complicated, and they just did that, and so they got coal, and the principle, the industrialization started, and this is 100 times more energy than before. And we grew in the last 150 years, world population grew by a factor 10, and the energy per consumption per person grew by a factor 10 as well. And so we just got this factor 100. So, now what to do with the matter. Again, there's a catalog about materials and how to treat them. So there are families of material. There's 111 materials in alphabetical order, and then there are production Verarbeitung. So you see, this is how wood is displayed, and so on. So the paper, all the different papers, how this is produced, everything is explained. And to go to glass and ceramics, how this is made. Everything, composite, how they are made, and so on. These are, yeah, again, these strange naturalistic, little irritating elements, not of this quality like Herzog-Dumouriez. So these are all the different materials. So what can be done with them, and so on. And then here are the tools and joints and connections, how to here spindle. And then there's a catalog of the tools of how to
bring them in a certain form, to combine them, and so on, all the principal things. So it's a catalog of the principal materials in a certain order. We had the order before, and you see that the material always is combined with the things you can do with them, the tools you can do with them, and the projects you can do with them, and so on. So this is a nice compendium for that.
It's the same for on the machinery and the manufacturing processes. It's the same all the machines. You had seen one in Schlieren, and here are 500 of these kind of machines. Again, it's a, and you see the matter and the material and the machines and the kind of production, manufacturing processes, and so on. They all are a system. They all are on level B. So it's a very clear analysis of what can be done if you understand what matter is and how it is constructed. Clean that, to deform that, and so on, make tools out of that, again, manipulating other substances, and so on and so on. Yeah? And this is the state of, it's an atlas and the state of the art. This is C. And you see, this is another word. this is how information technology is produced. You have an accelerator, an electric accelerator of a certain material, and then you have a substance here, and you're shooting ions of this material to dope the material here. Just to have a material here. There's a certain material, for example, a computer, a piece of silicon for computer chips, and then you shoot, crossing a mask, you're shooting some other materials that these ions break the homogeneous structure, for example, of the silicon, and change the physical behavior of the metal. So it's a doping of metal, and it's like in a photo camera, just so this, for example, is a silicon for photovoltaic. You have silicon grid, you have phosphor ions, and you have bor ions. And so here you have an extra of electrons, it's one extra. You have the phosphor region of phosphor, the region of bor you have minus here. So if there's a photon from the sun, this extra electron is pushed to this side because it's relatively happy here, can't go back, but it's still satisfied because this matter still is not homogeneous. And if you put a cable from here to here, the electrons are running back because they're unhappy here. They thought they would be happier there with a photon, go to travel, but they are happier here, so they run back.
What makes that C not, for instance, plastic when it was made, it was the level of change, the atom?
No, the interesting thing is, well, the plastic, for example, is still in this continuous way. You're always cooking, and you have a continuous flow of changes. And so, remember this discontinuity, which are constituent for quantum mechanics and so on, they make the difference. So there's no form in here. there's no continuity in there. You can't foresee what's going on in detail. So it's the constituent part of the whole system is discontinuity, like in the CD-ROM. And if you are in chemistry, you're always cooking and finding things from A to B and transferring that and so on. It's like the wave on the LP, just following a certain line, a certain path. So it's very rich. Modern chemistry, it's very sophisticated, yeah, very detailed analysis of the path of differentiation, but it's still continuing, you're able to control what's going on. With quantum mechanics, the game is quite the opposite. You're not able to control what's going on here. You can do, in principle, anything. And you have to say what you want to have. You can't follow a given path. So this is pure design. Invention, so that your intellectual thing, you can't just by looking at the analysis, so looking more detailed to the facts and so on, you can't get the idea of photovoltaic, for example. The same with electricity, for example, just by looking to the phenomena of the flash, for example, you can't get the idea how to control it. So it's a pure symbolic invention on the algebraic level. The effect, of course, that you can have a lamp shining and so on, of course, at the end is you can observe and so on. And the result as well, if you're looking. So this is how it's printed. So the result is that nothing changes. The whole system is just there. You have that, a small cable. Yeah. Or this is another doping of matter. You can have organic matter and so on. Just another doping, and then it's shining. It's heating. It's cooling, whatever you want. So, and on the mechanical thing, on the analytical thing, you can't see anything. It's just lying there. And it's doing what you want to do. So this is the principle of the facade, which can display any image. Because it's discontinuous. All the pixels can display any color, so you can produce any picture. And the same with the atoms. So just changing and doping that in the way you want to have that, and you can get certain physical effects. So it's not. And it's the same with. I think it's crazy to see that this, for example, is a hand and so on, and or on the computer screen and so on. And you see that, and of course, it's only a construction. It's not the hand behind that. And we can change that and manipulate it in Photoshop and so on. And you know that. If we don't care, we lose all the information and the image will be dizzling and so on. This would not be with an analogous machine. And photography, for example, is a step in this direction, just to get the structure into these small cones of silver and so on, to deconstruct and reconstruct the phenomena in a certain way. But it's not following the continuous lines, for example, with the audio
or with cooking new chemistries and so on, all these kind of things we are, or the rotation of machines and so on, they all are in the proper order, which can be seen, looked at, analyzed. These things can't be analyzed in a geometrical way. And this is the difference. Therefore, you turn the. So you say, I want to have that bright. And then it's doing like that. Of course, in chemistry, if you got the key the, and think, okay, we always say what we want, then you can say in B it's never had been the other way around. But people in B didn't thought like that. They thought, yeah, if something is working, we found it out. So it, principally, it already had been there in nature and so on. And if we are working hard, looking in a very detailed level, then nature will show us how to do that, how to improve our environment and so on. So they think it's in principle it's there, and we want to follow and open these kind of possibilities. And just by looking in more detail and so on, we can discover all the remaining parts of nature. But because of discontinuities and the quantum effects and so on, nobody tells how it behaves. So just with the pixels here, nobody says that it should be this proper picture, but us. The video projector is completely independent of what has to be displayed. And this hadn't been done, been able, possible with the printing letters. This hadn't been possible with these analytical curved lines. This only is possible with the isolated discontinuous points. With the points, you can display everything you want. And the interesting thing is that you can get physics to, you can get a foils to any physical behavior you are able to write. And it's just writing like a poem. Just writing it, printing it, and then it's working. And that's a creative thing. And these are this is a new attitude, if you turn that, and these are the new materials. Yeah. No, thank you.
So control is the essential part of it?
Pardon?
So control is the essential part of C?
No, we would not say control is in the game of B. If you really want to control that, it's an analytical term. So we call that articulation. So control means, we say we want to have it like that.
Interest.
Yeah, interest, articulation, and so on. Getting attention to certain things, so other people, and so on. And this is a kind of richness or abundance we are propagating.
And one of the major changes is that when you speak in terms of control, you are within cause and effect, linear relations. And we have come to speak of autoregulation, that means on a control loops on many dimensions, in different ways related. And the articulation basically means to define the setup of the autoregulation within which we want causalities to function. So it's not control anymore, it's not regulation strictly speaking.
It was a wrong word. I don't mean control.
It's what so many people accuse mediality and information technology to bring us into a controlled society. And that would be completely different from what we have in mind with our interest in that. But cybernetics and a lot of interpretations of the new mediality is in terms of control. And then you call that freezing to death or heating to death. Either you have to so strictly control each singular action of elements, be it people or whatever, that you can guarantee the control you are promising, or that would be freezing to death. And heating to death is when you necessarily, or when you create these hybrids which will not work out and are becoming too dangerous. But it's thinking in terms of rules, but more in a game way, not in a mechanic machine way.
And the discontinuity, if this is constituent, you really do not know the next step. And nobody tells you what the next step is, but the others looking for the next step as well. Therefore, marketing and economics, from our perspective, are very important. Much more important than analysis and physics and so on. It's us and being convinced from the others what should be the next step. If there is discontinuity, you do not know what is the next step. Nobody knows.
You have to create interest for deciding
so
what.
Therefore, you have to trust yourself and contract the others, and you're fine.
So, with discontinuity, you don't have history, right?
Yes, but not the one history, but the histories we are telling. So, they are stories. If we're telling, we say, we have serious, we want to train serious storytelling. Mm-hmm. And history is the one story, the one B story. This is history.
So whenever someone tries to create interest for one next step, telling you it is absolutely necessary if you want this to do this, then he would argue in terms of the one history and with the analytical powers of the B level. And what we are propagating is to say, well, wouldn't it be a nice history if we look at it like that? And then to make it operable, we would have to do the following steps in order to guarantee it. So there is regulation and rules, but there is no natural necessity to do one thing or another. So every step can always be negotiated further. And also, you can't know what the we always have blind spots. You can never know what the consequences are completely of what you are doing, and that way staying within the.